Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
We continue today with the Lord's Prayer. And we're looking at the line that says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I don't know if you've ever been in a group of an ecumenical group with people from different Christian traditions and found that some people say debts and some people say trespasses. And of course, the modern version is sins. Catholics and Episcopalians are more likely to use trespasses. People coming out of the Calvinist tradition, the Reformed Church, the Presbyterian Church, a lot of our own churches say debts. And the issue here, they're metaphors for the same thing. They're metaphors for sin. And lawyers will tell you that debts and trespasses actually have a lot of different legal implications, but we're not using it that way. We're using it as metaphors for sin. And if you go to a country, an English-speaking country today, and to a Protestant church, most likely, even in the Episcopal Church, they escape the problem of debts and trespasses by using sins. And that was Jesus' intention. A lot of the difficulty comes from issues in translation when you have Aramaic, which Jesus spoke, and you're translating it to Greek, which was the international language of the day, and then translating it again into English. Some difficulties come out of the history there. But it's all, it means forgive us our sins is what it means. Here we are. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And in Matthew, Jesus said, pray then in this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. In a recent survey, Americans were asked what words they would most like to hear. Now just think about that in your own life. What words would you most like to hear? Number one was, I love you. Number two was, I forgive you. Number three, this one I like. Number three, supper's ready. But forgiveness was right up there. It was number two. And I think, you know, nothing could really be more relevant to our personal relationships and to our daily lives than the whole issue of forgiveness. And today, as we continue our sermons on the Sermon on the Mount and the Lord's Prayer, again, we come to the fifth petition, the fifth request that is there, and that is, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Now, think about the role of forgiveness in your life. And here, we have worldwide communion. We're going to be doing things in different languages. So I'll just make some quick points this morning. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I think, first of all, this says that we are all in need of forgiveness. We have done things, we have not done things, and we've caused people hurt and harm as a result. And I think if we look at our lives, we know how true that is. We all are in need of forgiveness. And there's a story about a woman who went into a coffee shop, something like Dunkin' Donuts or Starbucks, to get a cup of coffee and to have some cookies with it. And she went in and she ordered her coffee and she bought a bag of cookies. And the place was really busy, a lot of people everywhere. And there was just one seat available. And this was at a table where there was already a man seated. So she went and sat down at the table, got out her newspaper, started reading her newspaper, having her cup of coffee as she read, and she reached out to have one of her chocolate cookies. And then out the side of the newspaper, she saw the man across from her reach out and take a cookie from the bag. And she wasn't crazy about this, but she didn't say anything. And so, as time went on, she reached out and took a cookie from the bag. The man across the way reached out and took a cookie from the bag. And this went on and on until they were down to one cookie. And the man across from her took that one cookie, broke it in half, and offered it to her. And at this point, she was having a hissy fit. She was, you know, just, she'd had it. And she pushed the man's hand away, slammed her paper down on the table, and stomped out of the coffee shop. She went out in the car park, reached in her pocketbook to get her keys for the car. She reached her hand into the pocketbook and found her bag of cookies. We are all in need of forgiveness. And I just remember Jesus' words on the cross where he says, you know, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I give thanks for that. I think, you know, forgive us our sins. And from that flows our forgiveness of other people. We know forgiveness in our own lives. There's a second point here too, I think, and that is that to forgive can be good for us. And I think we all have seen those articles and pieces on the web that say to forgive is actually very healthy. It's not good for us to walk around with these sort of steaming resentments within us. You know, sort of burning down our own house to get even with somebody. It has its effect on us physically. One person, Lewis Smedes, once said that to forgive is to set a prisoner free. To forgive is to set a prisoner free and to discover that the prisoner is you. To forgive is good for us in many ways. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. I think that line in the prayer asks us to make forgiveness actually part of the fabric of our lives. To really make it a part of daily life, to practice it. I don't know if you remember back to just a few years ago to 2015 in Charlotte and what happened in the AME church there, where I think Dylan Root was the guy's name. He came in and joined a Bible study and shot and killed a whole lot of just innocent people. And what was amazing was almost immediately those people who had been through a horrible crime, almost immediately they were able to forgive. And one woman, Nadine Collins, who had lost her mother in that shooting, said to Ruth, "I forgive you. I've lost something that was very valuable to me. I will never be able to speak to her again. I'll never be able to hold her again. But I forgive you and have mercy on your soul." And it's interesting, the commentators on this said that the reason why this community, this congregation of African Americans was able to forgive was because forgiveness had been woven into the fabric of their culture, their church culture. It was supported, it was practiced, it was taught. And I think it's important for us too, as much as we can, as individuals and as a church, to weave that into the fabric of our daily life. To be able to say, you know, "I'm forgiven. I forgive you." Fourth. And this is a cautionary point. I can remember when I was a little child having a fight with my sister. And I'm sure you've been there too. And out the side of my eye, I could see my father was watching. And I would think, uh-oh, I'm going to get it. And what I would do, I would run to my father, put my arms around his neck, and say, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry." And all the time, I was looking over his shoulder at my sister and sticking my tongue out at her. The cautionary tale is, you can't love God and stick your tongue out at your brother or sister, right? Cautionary tale. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. My fifth point. And that is, sometimes it's really hard to forgive, especially if we have been hurt deeply. And, you know, sometimes forgiveness, especially in serious things, is not a single act. It's more like a process, a journey, where it's taking, you know, putting one foot in front of the other. And sometimes, where we are in life, we just can't do it. We cannot say those words, "I forgive you." The wound is too raw, too fresh. And sometimes we have to depend on God almost to say those words for us. There's a story about Belgium after the Second World War, where a woman came to her home, her hometown in Belgium, after all the destruction. And the Germans had bombed. A lot of buildings were destroyed. A lot of her friends were killed. And she came to her hometown and walked into the cathedral. And the walls of the cathedral were still there. The roof was gone. The altar was broken in two. What pews there were just a shambles. And she knelt down in front of the broken altar, and she started to say the Lord's Prayer, and she came to that fifth petition. "Forgive us our trespasses as we..." And she couldn't say the rest. And she tried again. "Forgive us our trespasses as we..." And the words would not come. The wound was just too deep, too painful. And again she tried. "Forgive us our trespasses as we..." And then there was a male voice that came over her shoulders. And the male voice completed the sentence, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us." And she turned around to see the King of Belgium standing there. And I think that's a parable, perhaps, of our own lives at some point, where things are just too hard, too painful for us to say, "I forgive you." But perhaps there is one who says those words for us, our King, the risen Christ. "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us." Amen.